was like, oh crap, holy.
Welcome, coaches, once again to the Talking Split podcast. With the little sound grab, I've just lost the two other people in the room with me at this stage. I'm Rob Calder, once again. As the sound grab that you can hear, we have Zoe Carr.
Thank you for having me.
And we are fortunate enough to have absolute Victoria Country superstar amongst many other teams along the way, Jade Melbourne, join us on the pod. Welcome, Jade.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was back in the Jarrah Potter days of basketball Victoria Communications, I would suggest. There was a very young Jade Melbourne talking about sapphires, I want to say it might have been, or gems. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah. Sapphires, yeah.
Talking about the elation of making the team for the first time. So you should know by now, once it hits the internet, it's there for life.
Got really hot in here.
No, nothing too stressful on that. Coaches, once again, as always, thank you for the likes, share, subscribes, the retweets, all the stuff that you do to help share the podcast has been fantastic over the course. A couple of little things just to cover off. Any coach shout-outs that you have or you want to send your coach a little bit of appreciation for what they do and the work that they have done in that coaching realm, by all means, send it through. We'll put it on the podcast, whether you want to send it through via voice, text, whatever you want to do. Don't do it on text. You don't need my mobile number. Everyone in Victoria's got my mobile number that they keep blowing me up on. Email. Send it via email. Please send it via email if you're going to send that one through. We'll get straight into the pot, though. Like, one of the most decorated Victoria Country players. Like, you've had a little bit to do with Jade Zoe. What's your first impression of her?
I've had nowhere near as much as I would have liked to have to do with Jade. But as a Country Vic person, everybody just feels like, you know, she is just embodies everything about Country Vic and what we stand for and our values and how we operate and all those sort of things. So it's things like that that make you feel like you have had a lot to do with someone like Jade. But we all, you know, we watch what Jade's doing and where she's going and the work she's putting in and things like that. And, yeah, we all sit behind her and cheer her on because it's such a proud moment for everybody in the Country system to watch what she's doing, because she's not only a great athlete and basketballer, she's an outstanding human, as you can tell by the drop at the start. So to have those sort of athletes that have come through our program is just a real not only honour, but it's a luxury for us to have, because I think there's been a couple of times where I've just reached out to Jade like, hey, can you just do a little video for this team? They've got a crossover and they're a bit nervous, and then bang, like straight away, she's in a different time zone and through comes the video. So there's nothing she won't do for Country Vic, which is just, yeah, that they're the sort of athletes we're trying to create.
Which is on the pod, so that's always a great sign as well of saying yes. But
let's stop listening to us.
That's more the point. But Jay, what was basketball for you growing up? Like, where did you start? How did you come through? Like, where did you find the love for it? All those types of things.
Yeah, so how it all started for me is my nan got me a hoop for Christmas when I was 4 years old. And, like, simply got it for Christmas. Dad had built a trampoline the night before.
Oh, this is dangerous straight away.
Had no interest in it. Nan rocked up at 11 o'clock and all I wanted to do was shoot hoops. So Dad had to put up the hoop on Christmas morning after being up all night with a tramp, and I had no interest in his trampoline. All I wanted to do was shoot hoops. And then from there, it was just like, we'd dump my school bag, we'd just go out, shoot hoops repetitively, and Mum was like, I have to get this kid involved in the basketball team. And then I think from then on, it just, like, that was kind of it. Like, I just fell in love with the sport, fell in love with, like, meeting new people, you know, that fight for a common goal from a young age, being competitive, like super competitive. So, like, that space where you're actually allowed to be competitive, you know, get in trouble for it by your sisters or mum saying, like, let Ava win you Uno. It's like, no, like, I want to win everything. So that was kind of like my space where I could play. And then, yeah, just felt started playing for the Trogon T-Birds under 10s, played all the way through to under 18s, got involved with Latrobe City Energy, which are now United. And then, like, yeah, Jamboree under 12s, and then grew up through the Country basketball pathway. So, yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Pretty fun, yeah. Real fun for a lot of kids. You went back as team manager for a team a couple of years ago. Enjoyable experience?
One and done. One and done.
Seeing all the stuff
Shout
that went on
Shout out to
now.
All the team managers.
Yeah, all of them, the washing. You have to get up earlier than the kids. I was like, this is not for me yet.
Yes, no. Look, credit to you for giving back, but it is one of those jobs where you sort of sit there and think, man, sounds like a good, like I always enjoyed Cup and, you know, it was a lot of fun and, you know, this was always, and all this stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you just don't see so much. But credit to you for going back all the same. It's fantastic.
One of the things you hit on, though, was about the space, the competitive space, where you don't get in trouble to be competitive. And it's one of those things I think I probably bleed on a little too much on this pod about the difference between boys and girls and, you know, the different pressures and requirements and all those sort of things. And I feel like competitiveness is one of those. How do you think you went about, because you must have encountered a time where, you know, there was either conversation about you being too competitive or you're acting a certain way or, you know, so whether it be from other players or other parents, you know, how did you approach those sort of situations?
Yeah, I think for me, I was like, well, and I didn't really learn this until like 18s, where I was like, well, if I don't go my best, the person that I'm playing against not going to become the best version of themselves either. So I think like under 16s, you kind of grow up like I was super competitive always in games, but at trainings I was like, oh, well, if I take it easy on them, then they might take it easy on me. So it's like that kind of balance where you're like, oh, well, maybe they're better than me at that. So like if I take it easy, like we're still going to be friends at the end of the day. So I think that's something I wish I learned a lot earlier. But once I become like really competitive at training, I was like, nah, like I don't care if it's like an on-o shooting drill, like I'm winning this, and like I'm like disappointed and I'm not showing the disappointment, but like in my head, I'm like, I wish I won that. So I think that competitive side, like once I started to get that, it was probably maybe top age 16s, bottom age 18s, where I was like, if I want my teammates to be the best versions of themselves too, and I want to be the best, I have to start being competitive in everything I do. So that's where it kind of come. And like, yeah, sure, you're going to have some times where girls are like, oh, like stop doing that or something like that. But it's like, well, who's going to get better if we're not uncomfortable? So I think learning that, I think in that kind of crucial age of development as well, was really key. And yeah, I think a lot of coaches in the Victoria Country pathway, like I had Joe Turner in that age group and Jared Healy, who like really pushed that as well. So that was kind of a really good environment, and it allowed me to be like my competitive self. So like it lifted the other girls up, and it wasn't really a matter of pulling back. So I think it was always encouraged for me, and that's why I think that was kind of installed in me as a young age.
Did it ever get to a point where it was a bit unhealthy? Like you were trying to win so often that you almost, it was almost to the detriment of a couple of other areas?
I think when I got to the COE, there was sometimes they were like, Jade, chill. And I was like, no, like... So maybe sometimes, because then like you go back to the pods and like dining hall can be a bit awkward sometimes. You're like, oh, like it's all right, guys. Like, sorry, I won everything today. But like...
but not sorry.
Yeah, not sorry. Yeah. So you don't want it to come to a stage, I guess, where it does become unhealthy, because at the end of the day, like, especially at team practice, you're all on the same team. But for me, I never think it comes out of a bad place. So that's what once people understand that about me, like, I'm pretty much the same person on and off the court. Like, I'm competitive, but I always have fun as well. I always find the fun in everything I do. So once the people start to understand that, they start to actually realise that, like, maybe it's more out of a place of care, because I want to see the best for everyone as well.
Yeah, and it's a bit infectious as well. Like, it's one of those things where we see sometimes competition go a little bit too far, and it's like, hey, you know, you maybe got to pull this one back a little bit. But it is one of those things where genuinely, if you understand the teammates and what they're trying to do and what they're trying to achieve, now it becomes, well, actually, I'm sick of losing to that person. Now I want to go a little bit harder, or I'll try and do something a little bit differently. And so you trial and error a little bit. It's actually a really good thing.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that on your teams? Like now that you've got to the pro level, do you see that as well?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I noticed it a lot this year. We had a couple of DPs who like weren't playing many minutes, but they started to realise that like the me and the Sharpies on the team, like they could learn so much and get so much out of a season just going up against like us two. So then like that leveled up our practices. So then like all of a sudden practice gets better, you start playing better, and then you're better prepared for the game as well. So I think that stuff was cool. And I tried to drive that. I was like, guys, like you're not challenging us. We look at the score, it's like 10-0, and it's like, well, what's happening? Like what's going on? So I think when you can start to like drive that competitive behavior, because like I'm also bored if we're just smashing teams and stuff like that. So it's like just continuing to level up, because I know like that development player wants to be a seventh man, wants to become a starter. So, like, if you can kind of understand what your teammates want in basketball as well, I think that just creates a good environment. But it always comes back to they've got to understand that you're doing it out of the right place. So that's the thing that's most important for me, like getting to know my teammates, kind of figure out, and it doesn't have to be a deep conversation, but just, like, figure out where they want to go and then try and help him. All right, well, you're not going to get away with that when you sub in and, you know, someone's guarding you from the other team, or like their starting point guard's getting up against you. So like I have to do my, you know, respect and like get up after my backup point guard, because then they're going to be better prepared for the game. So that's how it comes from. That's where it comes from for me.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's such a fine line to walk to when you're talking to people about that, because you don't want to come across as disrespectful or arrogant or anything like that, because you don't want to talk down to them. But you're literally just trying to lift them up. And it's that, you know, rising tide floats all boats type thing. It's, you know, we get better together as a group. And I think that's a really important part of it. Just out of curiosity, was that a coach-driven thing? Or was that something that you realised one day and it's like, oh, actually, this has to be me that's going to do this?
I think the best thing that happened when I played my second year in Canberra, Brittany Sykes was there. And she took me under her wing and just, like, mentored me so much. Like, would watch film with me, like, cut my clips and, like, watch my film. And then I realised the impact that, like, she made on my game. And, like, she was, like, she would get after me at practice. And for the first, like, 3 months, I was like, oh, I hate this. Like, one defensive player of the year in, like, the WNBA and stuff. I was like, she's long as. I was like, I couldn't get a shot up. I was like, this sucks. I hate basketball. I should have gone to college. Like, all this stuff. Like, all these thoughts were running through my head. But at the end of the day, like, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because, like, I was getting challenged every practice. I had such a good defender. And I think it set me up, because I was like, well, she had no mercy on a 19-year-old kid. So, like, why should I have? I mean, I'm only 21, so, like, I just go after that and challenge them. And then I think I realized what it did for my game. So, like, I want to do that and help other people. So that was kind of the coolest thing that happened for me. And, it was then when I realized, oh, okay, like, I can now have an impact on others. And, like, I saw how much it helped me. So, like, I can go help other people.
Yep. You just hit on it then, the college discussion. And you went pro straight away, obviously. And with the amount of work and your body of work, I suppose, in junior basketball, no huge surprise, you were recruited fairly heavily. Why the decision to forego college and go into the pro scene? How did you come to that decision, I suppose?
Yeah, so for me, I committed quite early in the college kind of recruiting process, because there was no visits. So I was during COVID, so, and everyone was committing. I was like, I'm not going to get a scholarship otherwise, like, because, like, I had a decent list of schools, but at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not going to be able to go. Like, everyone's just going to commit and I'm just going to get left out. So I committed in August. I can't remember what year it was. And then a month later, someone pulled out of the Caps team and I got an opportunity for the Hub. And for me, I never really wanted to go to college because I hate school. Hate school. I hate studying. Like,
it may not be the best podcast for some of our players, it turns out, but that's okay. Continue.
It just wasn't for me.
Yeah,
it's fine. I'll say that. So, like, yeah, so that's just, like, I knew I, like, wanted to go to the pro route, but I hadn't heard from anyone. So I committed to Arizona State, got the gig with Caps, and then the Hub season, I was lucky. It was just great timing. We had a few injuries at the time. There was no imports, and I, like, started my first game. Now, debut, play against Steph Talbot, 9 minutes, 5 fouls, out of the game. Like, I was like, nah, I'm not built for this. but then I got some more minutes and, you know, started to play some decent basketball with the Caps, and Goss was like, do you want to come back? So I sat on it for 6 months, and for me it was nothing against the college pathway. Like, I think it's great. All my friends that are over there are absolutely loving it, playing some great basketball. So, like, really, like, I encourage that. But I think ultimately the best decision, it just came down to what was the best decision for my basketball. And I think moving forward it was playing against older players, playing against people that I could learn from. And that's why I decided to stay in the WNBL and go professional.
Were you similar, Zoe, when you came through the Institute, played for Canberra instead?
Yeah, I had I don't think I had quite the college list that Jade would have had. But I did have offers and was considering it. And then sort of a similar thing. So I had we had an ADC up in Canberra, and I was at the AIS, now COE at the time, and out of that, Carrie Graff was running that camp, and she just loved what I was doing at camp and finished the camp with, okay, so now, you know, thanks everyone, I'm just going to take Zoe into the Puma Den and recruit her. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went in there and had a conversation, and when she's saying things like, you know, you'd be playing with Lauren Jackson, Kristen Veal, Lucille Bailey, Joe Hill. I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay here. Yep. Because how often do you get those opportunities? So there are times where I think, you know, maybe you know, the college, like getting that experience would have been great. But I certainly don't regret it in any way.
Yep. No, I like it. So what do coaches do that give you confidence, Jade? Like, how do you find confidence from your coaching staff in particular?
That's a really good question. That's not something I think about
it's
at
all. It's taken us 9 seasons, Jade, but we finally got there.
Yeah, good question. I think for me, any coach that kind of gives me a license to be myself, I think is the coolest thing. And like, I completely understand that, you know, every time there's a role, like sometimes, you know, there's been teams where I've had to play a role and that's to come in and create energy or something like that. But I think when a coach kind of doesn't box me up and just say, I need you to do like point A, point B, point C has kind of been the best thing for me. Because if anyone's seen me play, like, I am a bit chaotic. Like, I think I average the most turnovers in the league. Like, I play with a bit of freedom. So as soon as, like, I get the license to kind of be myself in any role it is, I think that's the best for me. And that's when I have that kind of trust from a coach. And, you know, I think Veerley has given me a lot of, like, trust. And that's been really good for my game. I think she just allows me to be myself and continues to challenge me, which has been the coolest thing. I always seek out a challenge. That's one thing. Like, I always want to develop my game and continue to grow it. So when a coach continues to challenge me but also reassures me that I'm doing a good job and, like, I'm doing my job for the team, I think that's probably the best thing for me. Yeah.
Would you be more concerned if Veerley sort of didn't give you feedback, like just kind of let you go? Like, do you still want those boundaries to a degree?
Yeah, I want feedback all the time. Yep. Like, if Veerley's just like, oh, you're doing great, like all this stuff, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm not. Like, like, I'm constantly, yeah, because at the end of the day, like, I'm my biggest critic. So, like, also getting that feedback and stuff, it's something I seek out. Like, I talk to, like, other coaches that have, you know, helped me throughout juniors after games, because, like, I want to seek feedback from, like, the outside point of view as well. And it's not necessarily, like, I tell them, like, no, don't focus on, like, my team. Like, focus on, like, me particularly and be like, tell me what you think I can work on. I'll tell you if it's within the system or not. I keep that, like, those boundaries very clear. But, yeah, I'm always looking for feedback and stuff. So, yeah, if Veerley said, like, oh, no, you're doing a good job, like, you're perfect, I'd be like, well, like, maybe thumbs this up. Tower's dried up. Like, maybe we shouldn't work together anymore. But, yeah, she constantly challenges me, and I think that's why my game's continued to grow.
Yep, and, I mean, full disclosure to anyone listening, just walked off a workout with Zoe downstairs, obviously. How do you go about that, Zoe? Because, obviously, you've got a player sitting here as well, WNBL, WNBA, Opal. How do you give feedback to someone that level as well? Because there'll be coaches out there that almost feel like their players are overqualified for them to coach as well. Like, how do you deal with someone that's achieved a lot already, but you can see some things that you can help improve?
Well, it's not about me completely changing Jade in that, or whoever it is in that situation. It's about trying to complement what she's good at, try and help get high reps and maybe some adjustments of what she thinks her weaknesses are, because I'm not working with her day to day. So I can sit here and I can watch a Caps game and I could come out with this list of things and I could go, here you go, Jade, this is what you need to work on. And she could probably go, yeah, nah. So we had a conversation. We did an Indy last week and we had a conversation about things that not only she wants to work on, but also that fit within where she's about to go, so back over to Seattle. You know, like one of the big, and we've talked about it on the pod before, the big debate of the mid-range game. Like, do we have the mid-range game? Now, Seattle are all for it, so let's do it. Let's like nail it down. Let's get the footwork. Let's get all those sort of things. So when we're over there, that then plays into what they want. I think sometimes as coaches, because we're always in charge, we take these opportunities and we think, right, I'm going to do all these things with this player, and it's nothing on what they need. So it's all about finding out what the athlete needs, how they want to work on it, and then developing something around that. And I'm not saying don't give your feedback. I gave Jade feedback on footwork and things, and but again, it's also in the space of questioning. So it's like, how does that feel? How did that feel to you? Rather than, you know, because like like she said, she's 21. I'm not going to be able to make wholesale changes to some things. Like, some things are what they are, and we need to just find ways to work. And there's not many of those. I'll be honest about that too. But it's got to feel right to her too, because at the end of the day, it's her journey, not mine. And I'm just there to try and support her.
Yeah, absolutely. So, can coaches give you too much information? Like, have you experienced like where it's just like, well, there's a lot coming at me now? And how do you process that if that's the case?
Yeah, I think definitely coaches can give too much information. I think like the power of conversation is super important. Just be like, well, what's the priority like right now? So that's something like maybe throughout the season, like a coach might be like, I need you to do X, Y, Z. And you're like, oh, well, hang on, like I can't make all these improvements straight away. Like, I'm going to try my best to, but like, what's priority? I'll go focus on this. I'll just still work on these. I'll still think about these, and I might like do it in another way. So I might say it's like, I need you to work on, I don't know, your decision-making and transition, your pull-up and something else. I'll be like, well, what do you need the most for the team to be successful? So it's like, all right, I need you to make better decisions and transition. Okay, I might spend time on the court and watching film. And then like on the other things, I might do some reps after a team practice. And then one thing, I might just watch some film and focus on it in that. But I think it's kind of, I try and take on as much feedback as I can, but also like in the heat of a moment of a season, you don't have all this time to work on things. So it's always a matter of like, what's the main thing for me? And that's like, I'll take priority in something. And then I'll be like, hey, like, do you need something more from this? So I continue to ask questions. Hey, like, I tried that. Is that what you want? Is that what you need? Yep. Or no, nah, I need more of this. Okay, I'll focus on that. Try and get the main point down, and then I'll work on the other two. So I'm always like constantly learning, but I always try and find the priority in something, because I want to master one thing rather than like, you know, just lift the skill of three things kind of thing. So that's kind of where I've always come at it with it. I'm like, all right, let's have a conversation. What's priority? And then naturally I'll be like, all right, I've got an off season coming up. I'll work on that then.
Yep. You strike me as a fairly confident person in general. Have you always been that way as a junior to go and ask your coach questions and have that conversation? Or is that something that you just acquired over time and being more comfortable?
Yeah, I think I always asked coaches for feedback over time. I was like, they'd always be like, reach out to this player. I'm like, oh no, like, but like, it's so weird because like as a player now, when kids reach out to me, I'm like, love it. Like, it's the first things I'll reply back to on like Instagram or something like that. But so for coaches, but always, yeah, like after like gold nugget camps or something like that, I'll be like, what can I do better? Like, all right, like, what do you need me to do for Southern Cross Challenge or something like that? That's something I always did. And I learned that at a young age. I had a T-Birds coach at under 12s that like constantly gave us feedback, and I thought it was the best thing for me. I was like, he's telling me to work on my left hand, like, so good. So like, just those little things, like, I always seek out things because I'm also someone that gets bored really easy. So like all these challenges, I'm like, how good is this? So that's something I've always done, like seeked out feedback and stuff. Or, you know, if I've wanted to do something on my own, like I've tried to like come up with an action plan to watch things on YouTube and find drills and stuff. So naturally that's just how I've been. The whole question asking things kind of as I've gotten older and been like more kind of details orientated with some things. But yeah, I've always seeked out feedback and challenges.
Do you think any of that, having that, because there are a lot of young athletes that probably don't feel comfortable walking up to coaches and asking for that feedback, or, you know, really seeking it out like that. It doesn't mean they want it less. It's just that some people just aren't comfortable doing it. Do you think having to work every time you come home for your parents might have something to do with that, like being out in the real world and having to, deal with people in that sort of setting?
Yeah, well, yeah, what did Dad have me working in his restaurant at 14?
And 9 months.
And nine months. Yeah.
Be very clear.
14 and 9 months. Yeah, yeah, it definitely was. Yeah. Before hours at 14, set up. Yeah, so like, I kind of guess like, yeah, I was in the hospitality industry at like 14 and 9 months. Hi, what can I get for you? So I think maybe naturally over time, but my parents always encouraged me to talk to people. I think that was the main thing. Like, I remember Jack White. I spoke to him a lot because he was there. So his dad coached me in under 14s and 18s. So like, he would always like give me kind of that pathway to like speak to Jack. So I thought that was a cool thing. And he was always, super open and like giving me feedback and stuff, and like because I was always just curious about the COE and what he was doing. So having kind of that in my back pocket was really, really cool. And then I think just seeing how genuine he was, and then like just seeing how like happy it made coaches to like, I remember asking Joe Turner for a shooting program. He's like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh, it makes him happier than me. Maybe like coaches do like seeing kids want to get better. So I think, yeah, when I kind of understood like I can't just kind of hide in my own little shell and expect to be like the best version of myself, that's when I really understood that like, okay, I got to seek out feedback, I got to do this, because that's the only way my game's going to grow. And then if I choose not to use the feedback, then it's only my own fault. So that's like, I can only blame myself. So that's kind of the way I looked at it, particularly probably from like 15 onwards. Yeah.
Do you ever get feedback and leave it behind?
Yeah, sometimes I do, for sure. Sometimes, I mean, everyone, I think we're all human. Sometimes we think we know better. So there's some times where I'm like, nah, they don't know what they're talking about, or I'll just talk to the next coach that tells me I don't need to worry about it. I think there is sometimes. I'll definitely read it all, but there's definitely sometimes. But I think it also comes back to that priority piece I was talking about. If there's something that's constantly popping up, I'm like, okay, I have to work on that. And then it's also a question, if it's constantly popping up, well, why haven't I worked on that? So that's something that I've always kind of been curious. And I've still got a heap of feedback sheets from like under 16s and stuff. So, yeah, there's definitely sometimes I leave some behind, but I think majority of the time I'm like challenging myself to try and get it done.
How do you go? Because there are plenty of kids out there that will probably play a domestic game of basketball, play a rep game of basketball, and potentially state teams and those types of things. So different coaches all the way through. You're in the same position, although it's a WNBL coach, a WNBA coach, and an Opals coach at the moment.
So true.
How do you go trying to differentiate your role on each of those teams to the feedback you're getting, to the like the coaching style and philosophy? How do you manage that?
Yeah, and it's crazy because like at the moment it's like three completely different roles. Like at Canberra, I'm like the centerpiece. I get to Seattle and I'm like the backup slash like bench warmer, which is fine. And then in the Opals, I'm like kind of playing that role where like I could play minutes, I could come out and play a role. So, but I'm also on the like the fringe of that team too. So there's like three completely different roles. And I think for me, it's just like the whole time, it's just like me staying true to myself. And like, I've just got to know what my strengths are, what I can bring to a team. And then when it's my opportunity, just a matter of staying ready for all three. So like in Canberra, like I know exactly what I can do. I go out there, I have to score the basketball, I have to be our main playmaker. Be the level head, which is crazy because sometimes I'm all over the shop, but I am the level head sometimes. And, you know, like be like the leader on the team. And then you go to Seattle where you like got to come in and basically your role is to get it up the court safely and pass it to a stud like Jewel or get someone open for a shot. So like it's completely different. And then like it's to be the spark off the bench for the Opals. So three completely different roles, but I think a lot of them it's the same thing. It's just me playing basketball. I know exactly what I have to do. I seek out that feedback and have the conversations with the coaches so I understand what I have to do, and then it's just kind of living up to whatever that is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I could see in a world in which that would be stressful.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's a lot going on, and it's like it's only when you look down you see which single you got on. It's like, oh, that's my role today. Like, no worries. This becomes a little bit easier, but I can see why people would find that really stressful because, I mean, basketball is basketball. You know, players know how to play it and those types of things, but the role changes so quickly depending on who you're playing against, what point of the season you're in, those types of things as well, and really different programs. Mm. In Opals, there's always this expectation that, you know, top three, like, and higher. In all honesty, it's, you know, WNBA is still a developing team that's coming through, but there's an expectation they always compete. Canberra, again, young roster, but there's been a lot of development go on over the last 2 years as well, to the point where it's like, well, you know, we don't want to be considered a developing team anymore. We want to be a team.
Yep.
Now, how do you, I suppose, lead that team as the centerpiece you speak about as Canberra? How do you go from, no, we're not going to be this developing team anymore, to we want to really challenge?
Yeah, that's like, yeah, it's like sometimes I don't understand how I found myself in that role. Yeah, when Villa's like, hey, as you want to be in the leadership team like last season, I was like, you sure? Like, but yeah, I think so much learning for me has had to come in like really quick, and I think like it's made me grow up super quickly. So it's been really good, and I think especially this year, I think last year was kind of like a trial and error for myself, just because like I'd gone from playing on the bench the year before to all of a sudden, like, the ball was in my hands. And, like, Vili had a conversation with me. She's like, hey, like, I need you to play 35 to 40 game. I was like, oh, all right. And that was one of the funniest conversations we've ever had. But, yeah, so, like, how cool, like, for me as a 20-year-old to be doing that kind of stuff last year. Like, I saw my game just develop so much. So, for me, it's just me staying true to myself and then just trying to figure out what kind of culture I want to be a part of and, like, what thing I want to lead. So, I guess that comes back to, like, down to my values, like, hard work, honest and, like, have fun. So, that's something that I wanted to do, and I think we did a really good job this year in Canberra because, you know, the win-loss column might not say, you know, that we had a great year, but I think if you look at the individual development of, like, Sharpie, like, breakout player of the year, like, we've never seen her play basketball like that. Alex Fowler had an unreal year. She was, like, the backbone of our team. Gemma, like, how good was it to see her back on court? So many players just had, like, really great years. So it's, like, even though, you know, we didn't achieve the ultimate goal and I wish we were playing finals, I think we've built a really strong foundation. I think the culture piece is there. Like, after four games, it's like, why do I still get along with you guys? Like, I was like, why? Like, how am I still, like, enjoying coming to practice, still getting along? But I think everyone was there to get better. They enjoyed each other's company. So I think we've set up a really good foundation. I think it's a credit to Vili too. She did a great job of, you know, implementing that and giving me and Sharpie a license to kind of set up, like, what we wanted. And then, yeah, just a matter of now recruiting some more pieces, keeping a core together, and I think the Caps are going to be pretty dangerous next season.
Awesome. What have you... How do you manage jumping up a level? So you go from, say, a Traralgon uniform to a Vic Country one to an Oz one to WNBL to WNBA to Opal. Like, how have you managed that jump? Is it daunting? Is it something you sort of get in your own head about? Or is it something that's like, oh, well, we'll see how this goes and roll with?
Yeah, the craziest was, like, the last kind of 3 years. Like I just thought I was going to watch the WNBL, and then all of a sudden I was in a Canberra uniform. And then I thought, oh, like, I'm playing against my idols. Like, this is cool. And then all of a sudden, like, they're like, oh, you want to come to Opal's camp? I was like, oh, now I'm, like, playing with them. And then all of a sudden it was like, you're going to the Olympic qualifiers. I was like, holy, like, everything happened so quickly. So I think the thing for me is something I've always done is I just, like, stay present, stay in the moment, just try and take everything in my stride. I think the way I, like, kind of carry myself on the court doesn't change regardless of the role I'm in. I always come on, I'm always upbeat, I'm always the cheerleader, the person that is the first one to celebrate someone else being successful. So I think kind of just, yeah, stay in the present moment and just try and enjoy everything I do. I think for me, the reason I feel like I've got so far is because I genuinely just love basketball. I love the relationships you form, I love playing the game, and it's a never-ending problem, so you're never going to play a perfect game, and that's the thing that excites me. So just continuing to figure out how I can play my role and be myself for every team, I think, is the thing. And, yeah, I just want more experiences like that, so just trying to take it in my stride, take on feedback, listen to coaches, and, yeah, just continue to get better.
Are you a goal-setting person? Like, are you someone that writes everything down and it's like, I want to try and tick this off and tick this off? And, like, what's your process look like with that?
Yeah, I set goals. I'm not, like, a sharer. Like, yeah. So, like, I kind of share, like, the major goals. And, like everyone knows I want to go to the Olympics and I wanted to, like, play in the WNBA and stuff. But, yeah, I set, like, little ones along the way. Like, okay, like, even, like something for Seattle next season is, like, I just want to be a consistent player in the WNBA because, like, last year it was kind of, like, a bit rocky, whereas, like, this year I'm, like, I just want, like, my team – I want to be that player that my team knows exactly what they're getting every time. So just, like, little goals like that, even, like, during the off season, I'm, like, all right, I want to tick this amount of sessions per week. So that's something that I like to do. That keeps me on track.
Yep. How do you manage downtime? Like, do you get downtime? Like, you strike me as the sort of person.
I love how you look straight at me and start laughing.
Yeah, Zoe may have loaded this question, it turns out. But how do you manage your downtime?
So, like, my team told me they were, like, take a week off basketball. So, I, like, last week I did, like, Pilates, swimming, weights. I went for a run, like, all these random things. Don't get me wrong, I do love downtime, like, during the season, like, when there's an afternoon off, like, you will not see me, you will not hear from me, I'm in bed chilling. So yeah, but I think I just love to keep myself occupied, and usually I actually do need to find a hobby because I'm, like, basketball obsessed, And I think sometimes that can kind of get a little bit too much if you don't have that balance. And I started to see that this year. I was just like always thinking about like, oh, that turnover or like that miss or something like that. So I think something, to balance that out. So if anyone's got any recommendations for me.
Funny you say that, Jay, because I was on the book club the other week and I think everybody was waiting to hear an amazing book recommendation from me.
Yep.
And I did read a book and it was the complete Australian Weber Kettle Cookbook. And I'm like knee deep in barbecuing now.
I thought you were going to plug your Instagram page for a second.
And it's the best. It is so much fun. And it's teaching us, as I said the other week, it's teaching me patience because not everything goes the way I want it to go because I'm a little too process driven. And when that doesn't work, I need to find a solution. And yeah, so highly recommend.
Barbecuing, yeah. Oh,
it's a costly hobby, I must admit.
It does cost a bit, yeah.
Yeah, buy the barbecue. Seems pretty simple. Oh, buy these certain types of trays and then you need rubs and salt. There's a bit to it turns out. Yeah, yeah. No,
but it is
quite
good
the
fun.
Rabbit hole.
Highly recommended.
I mean, it's tasty.
And then you get to eat it.
And it's tasty. So there's a reward.
Yeah. Who knows? I think Zoe's family's enjoyed it more than we have.
Yeah, yeah. I bet. Yeah, so if I find a hobby or something, but yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I like to keep myself occupied.
Yeah. What about in season? Like how do you manage that? Like you sort of mentioned it, there's an afternoon off, you're out sort of thing. How do you manage the desire to try and get better, but maybe if I just go get some shots up, that'll turn the needle for me if I haven't been playing well, those types of things. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think especially these last 2 years, like ever since I've been playing like super high minutes in the WNBL, like it started to get like the first 24 hours after a game, I'm like, I'm bed bound. Like I'm not talking to anyone. I went from playing Terrell Gantorn and you could play like 3 games in a day. It's not the same. I was like, damn, it's caught up to me. I have to warm up now.
Aging sucks.
So I think I learned a lot throughout the last 2 years about like actually managing my body and stuff. So, so basically if I wanted to get shots up, we have a really good schedule in place where there's like always courts available and stuff like that. So in Canberra, it's like a nightmare to get a court. So Vili always just like books a court. If someone uses it, they do. If they don't, they don't. But for me, like I'm someone that like, I have to have the feel. So if like if I have a bad shooting night, like I want to get shots up after practice, like I want to make, you know, even if it's just like 53s or something like that, or like I want to get one of the assistant coaches to grab a bump bag and I can get 20 finishes on each hand or something. That's something that's huge for me. But it's also about like being really smart. So that's when like film became like huge for me. I didn't even realize the power of film. And then all of a sudden, like I actually learned how to watch it properly. I think that's a crucial thing, like actually learning how to watch film properly. And that that became huge. Like you can see the whole floor. I'm like, oh, like I completely missed that person on the roll and stuff like that. So being a visual learner, that became really crucial for me. And so that's kind of how I kind of tried to develop my game. It was like a matter of how can I save my body so I'm best performing, as well as still keep my brain occupied and learn a bunch of things. So film became key for me, making sure I was like getting the appropriate. And it wouldn't be a matter of, booking a whole extra session to do like half an hour of like finishing or something. It'd be like, all right, I'm just going to do 10 minutes here, I'll do 10 minutes at the start of next practice, and that gives me enough confidence going into a game.
What do you hope your teammates say about you? Like when you look at it from a holistic perspective, what would you hope that they would see in you as a player?
Oh, you're going to get me talking about myself. Oh.
It's boring when we talk about each other. So
nobody cares about us.
I think for me, I'd hope like overall, like they just see me as like someone that wants the best for them. I think for me, blast ball's great, but at the end of the day, like I just want to see like everyone be successful. So I hope they see me as like the ultimate competitor, a great leader, a really good teammate, someone that, you know, they can kind of rely on and trust. Super honest person. We'll go out there. We'll kind of, you know, give them some honest feedback, but at the end of the day, ultimately it's all out of the best place, and just wanting to see people do well. So it all comes down to that. If they said a few of those things, I'd be pretty happy.
Yep. So on the teammate thing, best teammates you've ever had, you've already mentioned Britt Sykes. So yeah. Thinking of your best teammates that you've learned from that have mentored you, who were they and what were the really key points I think that came across to you?
One of the best teammates I've had is Nicole Munger. She's just the ultimate workhorse and everyone around her is going to get better. So, she came in kind of as a replacement for one of our other imports last year. And, like, the first practice, she took, like, 3 dives on the court. And I was injured at the time and I just looked at Vili. I was like, whoa. Like, I was just so pumped. I was like, this is the missing piece. Like, and she just goes into the game. She's just someone that, like, no fuss. And regardless of, like, what's happening, like, we could have just played like terribly the night before, she'll come in too. She's like, morning everyone. Like, and she's just like so up and about. So having someone like her on the team was just like excellent. So I loved playing with her and someone you can kind of rely on the court as well. You'd be like, Mung, I need you to do this. And she's going to go out there. And even if she doesn't get it, she's going to give you 110%. So she's really cool. I loved being led in my first season by Mariana Tolo and Kelsey Griffin. I mean, yeah, everyone talks about them. They're like, they call each other yin and yang, and it's like so true. Like, Tolo's like good cop. KG like comes across as bad cop, but she's really great. But like learning off those two as well, like, coming in kind of late, it was a bit daunting going into a senior program and stuff. And one like Canberra that had just been back to back. So it was like pretty, yeah, I was like, they're an established association. They're going for a three-peat, so, like, no pressure. But those two were great. Like, KG was like, hey, like, something you've been caught up with sometimes is overpassing. So, like, maybe in this team, like, people don't know who you are. So just, like, hearing that from people like that, it's like, oh, wow. Like, and that I reckon, like, it was a credit to those two with maybe how well I did. And Goz, but a credit how well I ended up doing in that hub season. So they would be some of them. And then I've always loved playing with Liv Pollard, yeah, my fellow country buddy that we grew up, we played in all 6 state teams together, but she's like the ultimate. I still wanted her. She's still allergic to the paint. Actually, I think she's been going into the paint recently in college.
Hey, walking across the court to start the game doesn't count. That doesn't count.
That lefty, that three she can shoot. We played some very good basketball together. We've co-captained a bunch of Country Vic teams together, and she's like one of my best friends to date, so that would be there's a fair list there.
It's not bad. It's a real good list. What do you think separates good coaches from great coaches? Like, is it the tactical knowledge? Is it the how they manage? Like, what do you look for in that type of environment?
I think for me, I want to be coached by someone that's going to teach me something first and foremost. I'm okay with a coach that like will raise their voice and like yell and stuff, like that's fine, but as long as you're getting the message across, and you're like, yeah, I think if you can give me feedback and you're constantly, I know you want the best for me, then I don't care kind of how you act, but like at the end of the day, I know I'm going to get better under you. So that's the kind of coaches that I want to play for. Someone that I'm going to get better under, someone that I'm going to get feedback off, and someone that's going to put me and the team in the ultimate position to be successful. Two, I always want one that like I can talk to. I think that's critical as well. Having a coach player relationship is like really cool. And if you can talk to a coach and be able to like, share like your goals with them, tell them what you want to work on, tell them if something's not right, have that ability, they're happy to seek feedback as well from like a player's perspective. And also, they're like checking in on you and that kind of stuff. That's pretty important as well. So yeah, ultimately it's like someone that can make me better. Someone that's gonna put me in a position to be successful, and I know they want me to be successful. And two, like we have that player back and forth where I know I can go talk to them and trust them, and they're also going to be honest with me and give me feedback to be successful.
Yep. That's something I think I've seen in a number of interviews with you. Like people say, you playing for Vili is almost synergy because you play so similar to how she played. Do you feel that as well, or do you sort of feel like no, I'm Jade. I'd still do my thing. Like, there's some similarities for sure, but yeah. I'm still who I am.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I've worked under Vili now for, like, 5 years. I give a lot of credit to her. She'll never take it, but, like, I wouldn't be in the position I am today without Vili. And, having, like, the first day I went to the COE, she's like, I want to turn you into, like, someone that can play the point guard. I was like, all right. Like, this is the first conversation we're having. Like, this is sick. So constantly, like, it was, like, constantly, like, one – she's challenging me, which is like a tick for me. Two, she's like wants me to get better and like kind of become that like old, like a combo guard, but also not put me in a box. And then I was like three, she's open to have like conversations. So she's like, she just ticked all the boxes. And then, yeah, like, I think what, there's a couple of games where I have a bunch of turnovers. She's like, don't worry. Like I had turnovers. No one worries about turnovers. I was like, oh, this is good reassurance kind of thing.
Yeah, but the turnover list never goes on the screen. They never talk about the assists or the scoring.
Goodness. So. So yeah. And I think too, like a lot of times she's like, yeah, she tells me things that kind of she sees. I tell her what I see. And, yeah, we can kind of relate off each other and, yeah, people have said we're very alike, but like we'll never admit that we're ever alike. So, but no, having her is really good. She can kind of, she was like maybe more one of the traditional point guards, so say. So it's been really good for me because like I am a combo guard, I can do both. So for her to kind of add some strings to my bow, not turning me into a traditional point guard, I don't think I'll ever be that. But how can I also, you know, carry some of those traits that I can come on the court and play both. So that's kind of what we're working on at the moment. And yeah, huge shout out to Billy. Love playing under her. She has a lot of trust in me. I have a lot of trust in her. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, awesome. And yeah, we obviously know Kristen from her BV days. Yeah. She spent a lot of time developing athletes here as well as a high performance coach. And it's really cool to see her journey as a coach as well. That evolution of her from that purely skill development space that she was really in the high performance world here and into the COE. To now being a coach in the pros, it's really cool to see. And you know, the way she's carried herself the last couple of years, I think she's won a lot of fans over with the way Canberra's played. But also, they haven't had, no disrespect intended to anyone on this Canberra roster, but they haven't had the same stud-level talent that they've had over the years as well. They've had to bring through younger developing groups, and I think she's just been the perfect coach for that, right from a development perspective. Have you seen the same sort of things, though?
Yeah, I think one of the most impressive things for me is that, you know, I mean, you mentioned it before, Jay, the win-loss column probably wasn't where you want it to be as a player, as any player, but you weren't losing bad. You know, it wasn't 50 and 40 and 50-point blowouts. Like, you were getting pipped at the post at the end of games or, you know, those sort of things. And with such a young roster, those things come with that. But the brilliance I've seen from the outside of Vili is her ability to stay consistent. So whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you've lost, you know, two or three games in a row, or whether you've just won a couple in a row,
or six players to injury and you have to just roll out with whoever you've got on the day.
Exactly, but she's exactly the same. Her approach seems the same. Her language seems the same. Her demeanor seems the same. And, you know, that pressure that some people can feel because, let's face it, there's a lot of armchair experts around basketball, and her ability to shield the team from that sort of stuff, I think, is elite. And you can see it in the team. You can see it in their culture. You know, like as Jade said before, like we've just lost four games in a row. You know, why do I still like you? That is so accurate. Like when teams start losing, that's when the sniping begins and the little infighting and all that sort of stuff, and you just don't see it on the Caps. So it's a credit to you too, Jade, because a lot of it's got to do with how you manage that group and how you carry yourself, but also Vili and the boundaries that she sets.
Yep, that's awesome. Last couple of questions for you before we'll let you go. Dealing with pressure. How do you deal with pressure? Is it something that you really go looking for and that I want to put myself in stressful situations, or it's like, oh, look, I'll just sort of take it as it comes?
Yeah, I'm someone that kind of takes it as it comes. Like, I don't get super nervous before basketball games because, like, it kind of comes back to that point where I just kind of enjoy it all. Like, and I'm someone, too, that, like I pride myself in, like, preparation. So, like, whenever, like, something pops up, like, I'm always ready for it. So that's the thing for me. Like, I'd be nervous if I've had, like, oh, you know, like, I didn't put up enough shots in the week or something like that, because I'm like, oh, okay, my preparation's a little bit off. But at the end of the day, like, you know, like, the games are the fun part. So going out there, 40 minutes, like, you're surrounded with your mates. This is what you've practiced for. Like, it's just fun for me. So I guess, like, pressures do come with it because, like, you know, as you kind of get up the ranks, like, people are talking about you a bit more and you're expected to do some certain things or win some certain games and stuff. But at the end of the day, I just like try and block it out and just be like, well, I'm having fun playing basketball. So like nothing else really bothers me and stuff. So yeah, sure, like we got questioned this year, like, you know, when we've lost six games in the row to start the season. Actually, I think it was eight. And you're like, oh, well, why aren't people stepping up and stuff? But at the end of the day, like, as well, like, when it comes down to the last 3 minutes, it's a close game. Like, also, I'm that player that wants the ball in their hands. Like, that's the fun stuff for me. That's the stuff that, like, I'm still one of those people after training where I'm, like, 3-2-1 counting down my shot and, like, pulling up from, like, here and there. And some of them went in this season, which was actually crazy. but, yeah, like, I'm that player that, like, wants the ball in my hands. Like, I don't shy away from that because at the end of the day, like, that's the fun stuff for me. So, yeah, like, no doubt, like, sometimes I feel pressure and, like, there's some games maybe when a selection's coming up where I'm like, all right, I kind of have to perform. But at the end of the day, like, if I just stay true to myself and who I am and just do my job for the team, all that other kind of stuff comes with it.
The word fun, I don't think I've ever heard in a podcast more than this. It's honestly, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Like, to get to your age and say your age, I don't know if I'm underselling
level.
Or over.
Level.
No. But to get to that level, you bang on for 21. Yeah. Like, you're still like a very mature head in there that, like, no, it's fun. Yeah. Like, and I genuinely believe, like, you could be playing at 45. It's like, no, it's fun. Like, we're good. Like, yeah. It's, you know, it's just what it is. I just need more ice on various parts of the body now. But, you know, it's still fun. But is there any advice that you would give to younger athletes? So thinking about the journey you've gone through, and obviously not everything's been smooth sailing. You've missed some things. You've made some things along the way. Is there any advice you would give to the junior players?
Yeah. I think my advice is, I was like, if you're just passionate about it and you enjoy, like, the hard work and the challenges and everything that comes with it and it's fun, like, go for it. Just send it. Like, go for it. That's the thing that works for me. Like, basketball is just something I'm super passionate about, and I'll mention the word fun again. I think when I stop having fun is the day that I'll retire. Like, that's when it'll be all over for me. But, like, I think my advice to the, like, other athletes would just be, like, to listen to everything coaches have to say. Sure, you'll be like, oh, that coach, like, they annoy me, or they don't know what they're talking about. But every coach has got something, like, unique that makes them a coach. So, like, make sure you seek out everything, because there might be something that one day, the way one coach words something, will just click for you and you'll be like, oh, that does make a heap of sense. So just seek all that feedback, soak everything up like a sponge. But if that passion and drive's there, whenever you got some spare time, work on your game, but ultimately, just have fun with it. Honestly, just go and have fun with it.
Awesome. Favorite couple of coaches growing up? Anyone in particular?
Wow. Oh, so many.
Look, if you want more than two, that's quite okay. Like, it's,
there's so many. I think a lot of coaches have just helped me. I really loved playing under 16s under Joe Turner. Loved playing under him. I mean, he just ran flat screens for me, so I guess that's why I liked him. I loved playing off him. He was super hard on all of us, but a great coach. And, we got a silver medal with that group, which was super fun. I love Veerley, one of my favourite coaches of all time. Caleb Slater helped me a lot, still helps me a lot to this day with individual workouts and stuff. And then Herbie as well. Yep. Herbie helped me a lot with my shot, and so they would probably be my four that I've worked with a lot and really enjoyed.
Yep, awesome. All right, so we are into book club. We'll just play the intro music. Just
I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
So we did talk about book club in particular, and we did ask Jade, are you a reader? So hit us, Jade. Book club, what are you reading at the moment?
So the book I'm reading at the moment, so my goal for this year was to read 10 books because I've never been a reader, but it's maybe something that I could adopt as a hobby. who knows? Has been really good. Yep. I'm reading a book called Surrounded by Idiots, and it's actually been great. It's taught me a lot about, because one thing I shared with you guys is I'm trying to work on my leadership at the moment. So just reading things and finding new things out. So this was a really good book that got suggested to me. And it's actually, I think, given me a lot of insight into, like, how other people operate. And I think it's actually going to do me a world of good.
And that they're idiots, right?
And
that,
yeah.
No.
I'm the only perfect one and they're all idiots. But I feel like I can manage them a bit better now.
No, it is. It's a cracking book just based on, well, it's not about you, yep, but it is more about how you manage the different personality types around you in particular. It is, I think we all got because I did the same thing. I bought the book and it's like, yeah, this is absolutely my life. I'm surrounded by idiots all the time. And it's that kind of thing. Not the case. I'm being somewhat facetious there. But I think the title grabs you straight away and it's like, oh, it's about dealing with, you know, people that don't necessarily think on my same level or whatever. They just view things as black when you view it as white, those types of things. So it is a really fascinating book. Coaches, it's actually a great one for you to go and have a read of, just purely because there is, on any team, you are going to have so many different personality types amongst that playing group that you're going to have to try. You're going to be on your toes, let's face it, trying to deal with everyone and keep everyone happy and play into what everyone's strengths and weaknesses are as well. So it is a fascinating book. You said Legacy by James Kerr is on the list as well.
Yeah.
That's coming next. Once again, another great read on that one. But yep. 10 for the year.
Yep.
That's the plan. So we're already into month 3.
Yeah, and we'll almost finished one.
You'll be right. Like you got plenty of travel coming
up. I've
got
a good cookbook you could read.
Yeah. You'll have plenty of travel coming up.
Send it.
Awesome. Jade, thanks very much for jumping on the pod. It's greatly appreciated. This is the only way we know we can get Jared Potter to still listen to the podcast now that he's left. You were always his favourite athlete.
Legend.
So we do appreciate you jumping in the podcast. Honestly, you are one of those people where whoever you're playing for, you will have the masses follow that team in Country Victoria Basketball in particular. And I think there are so many people that are really proud of the journey that you've had to this point. And where you're potentially going to go in the future. I don't think anyone thinks you're capped out at this point. Like, there's so much more for you as well, which is so exciting for so many people that, in all honesty, it's one of those areas where I think it can almost be, poor me is not the right attitude for it, but like, as a country athlete, it's almost like, geez, it's so much further for me to travel. I don't get to necessarily play VJBL every week, depending on who else is in my team in the season. And there's so many reasons why it doesn't work. But you've kind of been the reason why it does at the same time. And I think you're a great beacon for a lot of people in that Country Victoria program to continue their development. So I don't know if you've got more than that, Zoe.
No, it's spot on. Jade is the go-to when we talk all things player development. If we're telling athletes to model themselves on anybody, it's always Jade. So, for that exact reason, there's no excuses. There's no, for lack of a better word, there's no making yourself a martyr or there's no none of that. You want something and you're going to go get it. And hopefully we can have some of that rub off a little bit more on the athletes we're working with now.
Awesome. Thanks, Jade. Good luck for the season. Hope to see you in Paris.
No, awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Talking Split Podcast. Make sure you like and comment on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to share and subscribe so that you never miss an episode.